Assalamu alaikum, dear viewers. Hello and welcome to another episode of Spotlight Middle East. I am Rashan Saglam and I will be your host today. Terrorism, killing, destruction of infrastructure, ignorance, retardation, all of those have been the acts of the ISIS organization, the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. This organization creates incitement and sedition, but the irony is that the strength of the organization grew after it was annulled by the Al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri and gave the leadership in Syria for al-Nusra Front. The ISIS claimed responsibility for the car explosion which targeted the Tahrir area in Beirut's southern suburbs, a stronghold of Hezbollah. Russia has imposed anti-terror title for Geneva II and showed President Assad as a partner of the West in the fight against terrorism. A Saudi intelligence officer arrested in Lebanon and dies in strange circumstances. The leader of the Brigade of Abdullah Azam, one of Al-Qaeda leaders, Majid al-Majid. Turkey detains terrorists and closes one of its borders with Syria. And the Qatari Foreign Minister Khalid bin Mohammed Al Attiyah says from Algeria that the only solution for the Syrian crisis is the political one. It seems that all countries but Saudi Arabia came to the conclusion of that the only solution for the unrest in Syria is the political one. What if the investigation shows that Saudi Arabia was behind the terrorist attacks against the Iranian embassy in Beirut and Volgograd in Russia, the Saudi involvement in Lebanon and the Lebanese government formation, the $3 billion given to the Lebanese army, Majid al-Majid, and a lot more will be discussed in today's episode, so stay tuned. And our guest will be General Ilyas Farhat. Hello and welcome. We've been talking about the Saudi involvement a lot with you in particular and with our political analyst in Lebanon and in Syria. The Saudi involvement, the never-ending involvement, how do you assess it?
Okay, the Saudis make no secret that they want to overthrow the Syrian regime by any means, including the military means. Mm-hmm. Foreign Minister Prince Saud Al Faisal declared that arming the Syrian opposition is something good. And now there are a lot of Saudis who have been killed in the clashes mm-hmm. and in the fight inside Syria. Many organizations in Syria, terrorist organizations, are linked in a way or another either to Al-Qaeda or to Saudi intelligence. Of mm-hmm. them is Mr. Zahran Alloush, mm-hmm. which is known mm-hmm. to be linked to the Saudi intelligence. Now, in order to understand this situation now, let us see that Al-Qaeda organization used to be made up of sleeping cells mm-hmm. all over the world and conducts limited terrorist actions and operations all over the world as well, mm-hmm. starting from Bali in Indonesia to Egypt, to Baghdad, to Lebanon, to mm-hmm. Egypt, to Madrid, to London, just only limited terrorist actions. Now, the Qaeda turned to be a sort of army. Mm-hmm. One of them is Jabhat al-Nusra, mm-hmm. and the ISIS, Islamic State of Iraq and Sham. So the situation now is much different than mm-hmm. before. We are in front of armies, tens of thousands of people. They need organization, mm-hmm. they need supply, they need funding, they need training, they need commanding, command and control system, mm-hmm. Structure. So this cannot be done in a covert mm-hmm. way. Mm-hmm. It needs cooperation from either governments mm-hmm. or influential figures in governments mm-hmm. or sometimes non-government organizations, NGOs, which mm-hmm. are specialized in funding terrorist organizations. Mm-hmm. So now it's in no way can the state of Saudi Arabia, the state of Turkey, ignore their support to those terrorist organizations, which mm-hmm. are labeled Al-Qaeda and terrorists according to the State Departments, U.S. State Departments, mm-hmm. and to the Security Council as well. So those people, the elements of Al-Qaeda, both in Al-Nusra and in ISIS and the others in other organizations, they came from 81 countries in the world, according to Jane's Defense Institute in Britain, with a study that was released 3 months ago. So in order to bring people from 81 countries with different languages, different cultures.
We need organization.
So we need organization. We need some people to receive them at the airports, to transport them to the camps.
And so it needs a lot of efforts, not an easy step.
Yes, suppose that you want to organize a conference of 25 people that will come to the airport. You have to book in the hotel and to wait on the in the airport and to bring them from the airport to the hotel and to
train them
training and
them.
You know, say all the logistics. So this is for a conference in a peaceful manner, but when you are receiving fighters, there's something different with tens of thousands of people. So that means that there are some governments who ensure them freedom of movement between the states and then the and entering Turkey.
Because we have thousands of fighters coming from Turkey, from Jordan, from Lebanon sometimes, going through the borders into Syria. So it is not an easy step unless we have a free borders between those countries.
Sure.
The borders are open.
The borders are open and the state, the border state is responsible for pushing these people into to the Syrian soil. So it's not a way of turning a blind eye or something. No, it's taking part in receiving those people and organizing them. And even in Jordan, say, and in Turkey, they take them to the camps, which are ready to receive them and train them and organize them within a structure. In companies or platoons or groups to get
I know we've mentioned this before, but if you want to now mention it once again, who are the countries that are supporting terrorism and who are the countries that are training those terrorist groups?
Okay, it's not hidden.
It's no more secret.
First of all, the geography is the best, I mean,
evidence for those evidence. Countries.
Turkey, along the 700 kilometers between
borders.
Turkey and Syria. So Turkey, from geographic point of view, is a country that take the main part in.
If you want to know now, is Turkey still working on this? Is Turkey still sending fighters to Syria? Because we've seen that politically, the Turkish government is not talking about the Syrian crisis anymore.
No, I don't think so. It's still the Syrian, the Syrian-Turkish border is still open from the Turkish side, and a lot of fighters are entering. And
so we have Turkey. Then second.
And the second is Saudi Arabia, which all the leaders and the princes of Saudi Arabia declared that they want to overthrow this, the Syrian regime through force.
No matter what.
And another country is Jordan. Jordan, which is, you know,
at the other borders, at the southern
Jordan
borders.
Lies in a crucial geographic site because if it takes part in overthrowing the regime and creating anarchy in Syria,
Turkey.
That will reflect on the Jordan because it's. The composition of the Jordan society
and Jordan state
is fragile. So, and if it permitted anyone to smuggle or to infiltrate through the Jordan-Syrian borders, that means it will lose the support of Saudi Arabia. Now there is a pressure from the Saudi Arabia and other Gulf states on Jordan in order to allow the armed opposition, even from the Qaeda and from other organization, in order to assemble in Syria and organize in, assemble in Jordan and organize in Jordan
and then
infiltrate
and then send them
to the Syrian
and source. We've seen that the Islamic Front was prepared and trained in Jordan and then sent to Syria to operate in Syria. Is that true or not? It was a training in Jordan, right?
Yes, there is a training camp in Syria, in Jordan, and it's led, I think, by the CIA, as the New York Times published 1 year ago, that they set up a training camp in order
but
to
isn't the
train
Islamic
the armed Syrian armed opposition, as the CIA said, but it's turned to be the training the Islamic fundamentalists from all kinds.
Saudi Arabia said that it is supporting the Islamic State, the Islamic Front, I'm sorry. So isn't it Saudi Arabia supposed to train them, or it's a coordination between the CIA and Saudi Arabia to train those jihadists and send them to Syria?
No, as for Saudi Arabia, they have many alternatives. It seems that, let's say, ISIS cannot live without Saudi or Gulf assistance. The same is
as well
Jabhat
as
al-Nusra.
It's the same for Nusra Front
and
the,
same
and the Free Syrian Army.
The Ahrar al-Sham and the other. And the Jabhat al-Islamiyya, the Islamic Front, and or Jaysh al-Mujahideen, the Army of Mujahideen. So they have so many alternatives. Now, given that the Security Council, United Nations Security Council, labeled al-Nusra and ISIS
as
al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have the alternative of the Islamic Front, which is a combination of brigades that have the same ideology of the ISIS and Nusra.
They all have
the same exercises.
Ideology, the jihadi ideology,
yes,
Salafi
ideology. They have the same idea, the ideology, they have the same exercises. And they all after
they have one goal.
No, they want Islamic Khilafah to impose Islamic Khilafah. They don't
Which
believe in
worst.
Democracy. They don't believe in elections. They don't believe in constitution.
Okay, since you're saying that, what is the stance of the so-called Free Syrian Army right now? Because it all started with the Free Syrian Army fighting against the government, and now we have al-Nusra, we have ISIS, we have the Islamic Front, we have a lot of jihadi groups that are working inside Syria who do not believe in democracy, while the Free Syrian Army was created because it wanted democracy. This was the main goal for the Free Syrian Army.
Look, let's go back to spring of 2012, when they started to form and establish the Jabhat al-Nusra. From the beginning of the Syrian events in March 2011 until
the beginning
one year,
of the unrest.
1 year, we heard about the defection of some soldiers and officers from the Syrian army.
And they created something called the Free Syrian Army.
Free Syrian Army. It was the first one was Mr. Colonel Harmoush, who was they arrested him and I think he was executed. The second one was the commander of Free Syrian Army, who was still officially the commander of Syrian Army, Mr. Riyad
al-Assad. Al-Assad, yes.
And then Mustafa Sheikh, General Mustafa Sheikh, who stayed about 1 year and then migrated to Sweden with his family. And from the first of the establishment of the Free Syrian Army, it was not a Syrian army because little of commanding officers defected from the army, and little of some of the soldiers, but the number was not enough in order to form an army. So
they needed support.
They enlisted some local peoples, most of them were from out of the 60,000 who were sentenced and did not enter the jails. They did not execute the sentence. They stayed. They are sentenced with criminal actions in Syria. So they enlisted those people.
This is how they formed the
enlisted
Free Syrian
those people,
army.
And the Free Syrian Army was no more a serious army. And it took 1 year.
To
the countries that support the Syrian opposition and that want to overthrow the regime, it took for them 1 year in order to understand that the Free Syrian Army cannot topple the government. So they sought the aid of Al Qaeda.
Okay.
And it was the decision of the United States, the NATO, Turkey, Gulf states to get the Al-Qaeda involved mm-hmm. and to cooperate with Al-Qaeda involved, aiming that the Al-Qaeda
this
will
This is a strange accusation, by the way.
Yes.
And we are going to speak about that, but we have to go to a shorter break. And after the break, we are going to talk also about the Lebanese situation, because we cannot talk about Syria and not talk about Lebanon,
sure,
and this is our
sure.
main subject. We are going to a shorter break, dear viewers, and we will be back. You were saying that getting Al-Qaeda involved in Syria is due to a U.S. decision, a U.S.-Saudi-Qatari decision. So is this true that the U.S. decided to get Al-Qaeda, which is supposed to be its main enemy, involved in Syria? Why?
Let's take an example of what the New York Times published.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the New York Times published that there are groups from the CIA
mm-hmm.
deployed along the Turkish side and the Syrian
at the Syrian borders, Turkish-Syrian borders.
Mm-hmm. What are they doing there?
Mm-hmm.
And how come the ISIS and the Jabhat al-Nusra people who are brought from all over the world come to Turkey and then
mm-hmm.
infiltrate to Syria, given that they are deployed on these
mm-hmm.
borders? So there is a kind of mm-hmm. cooperation and coordination between mm-hmm. both sides. Second, also the New York Times published a map about the moving of shipments of arms mm-hmm. from Doha and Riyadh to Ankara
mm-hmm.
and then to the Syrian
to the borders
to
with
Syrian
Syria.
Borders
mm-hmm.
under the vision of the CIA people mm-hmm. which are deployed on the Turkish
side. Nothing can be hidden from the CIA, so if there is a shipment coming, the CIA would know about it.
I don't talk about CIA, this is America, mm-hmm. this is mm-hmm. the United States, this is NATO.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a kind of coordination, a covert coordination, mm-hmm. or now it's an open coordination between both sides. Why they sought the assistance of Al-Qaeda?
Mm-hmm.
Because the fighters of Al-Qaeda are the best in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot find, even in the Rangers, US Rangers, or the British Special
Forces.
Because
they are ready to die, they don't have a problem.
Or the US SEAL mm-hmm. Special Unit. You cannot find someone who wants to kill himself.
Mm-hmm. He's ready to die for
a checkpoint mm-hmm. or for something mm-hmm. like this. In the Al-Qaeda, there are a lot of suicides.
And
this is
a big threat for the situation in Syria.
Sure.
Because Syria has transformed to another Iraq. Now we're seeing a lot of explosions going on in Iraq, but as well we're seeing a lot more going in Syria.
Yes, in Syria.
This is dangerous, and now we're seeing them in Lebanon.
They occupied the Kindi Hospital mm-hmm. through suicide attacks, the
mm-hmm.
Mennig Airport through suicide attacks, and many checkpoints with mm-hmm. suicide attacks. So. The special forces of the European countries or other countries, mm-hmm. they cannot exercise such suicide attacks in their mm-hmm. culture and in their military.
So you are saying as well that there might be a chance that the Russian explosions are an act of Al-Qaeda? It's related? Because no one but Al-Qaeda can do such an attack.
Look, as the man who was conducting the investigation and reported to mm-hmm. President Putin,
mm-hmm.
they released that the investigation outcome was that one of the leaders of mm-hmm. the people who committed the terrorist action in Volgograd is linked to a terrorist group in mm-hmm. Syria with relations with Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
This was mentioned in the report that was released. So
mm-hmm.
that means that Al-Qaeda, which is not the first attack in the Caucasus and in the
mm-hmm.
Volga Basin.
Mm-hmm.
It's so many attacks conducted by Al-Qaeda with
mm-hmm.
suicide women and men
mm-hmm.
in some cities in Caucasus,
mm-hmm.
Dagestan and other places, and even in the mm-hmm. Volga Basin, in the city of Volgograd, definitely. So what was the biggest one with the railway station
mm-hmm.
and the bus. So
So it's not the first attack for Al-Qaeda over there.
It is a theater of operation of Al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. It's Ard al-Jihad. It's
but why attack Russia right now? Because is it because, does it have anything because of the Syrian crisis and what's happening in Syria? What is the benefit of Saudi Arabia attacking Russia right now? And we've seen Bandar bin Sultan negotiating with President Putin and negotiating with the Russian government.
First of all, there are claims of the Muslims of Russia, of Caucasus and the Volga Basin, the Tatars and the Dagestan and the Ingush and the Chechnya. Mm-hmm. There are claims that they want to independent states and, you know, they are part from the Russian Federation and the Russia will not give in to these threats. So as a response to the Syrian, to the Russian refuse of this, they are conducting terrorist actions. Less 10 years ago, they occupied the theater in Moscow, and you still remember the theater of the Moscow, and how many people were killed during this this terrorist action. So now it seems that all these people are led from
it's one leadership
one leadership which gives orders to the people in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in
this
Russia,
is the whole ideology of Al-Qaeda. It's a base for its sleeping cells.
Yes.
So now we're going to move from the explosions in Syria and the situation in Syria to the attacks on Russia into the attacks on Lebanon. And we've witnessed an attack lately in the Dahiyeh area, southern Lebanese southern suburbs, Beirut southern suburbs. And we've seen that an intelligence personnel, Saudi intelligence personnel, was caught in Lebanon. And he is Majid al-Majid. Who is Majid al-Majid? And how was he caught, and information about Majid al-Majid, or shedding the light about Majid al-Majid in this report, dear viewers, a report, and we will be back discussing this matter. Majid al-Majid, the Saudi leader of an Al-Qaeda-linked group arrested in connection with the recent bombings in Lebanon, had died in hospital. It is not clear who al-Majid is, but it is certain that he is allied with Al-Qaeda and linked to its activities, as he is the emir of Abdullah al-Zani Brigades, as he also supports the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS. Certainly, dozens of Lebanese, Syrians, and non-Arabs were victims of terrorist acts that Majid had a role in, whether through planning, financing, or recruiting terrorists to carry them out. Al-Majid moved from Saudi Arabia to Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon, and also Afghanistan and Pakistan. Majid al-Majid, the Saudi commander of the Al-Qaeda-affiliated group Abdullah al-Zami Brigades, was arrested by the intelligence services of the Lebanese army in Beirut. Majid is a high-profile terrorist wanted by the United States and other countries, had earlier traveled to Syria to pledge alliance to the notorious Al-Nusra Front, which is fighting against the Syrian government. The Abdullah al-Zami Brigade claimed responsibility for the two bombings that killed 25 people and wounded over 150 others outside the Iranian embassy in Beirut on November 19th. And on December 3rd, Hezbollah Secretary General Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah said Saudi Arabia is behind the bombings against the Iranian embassy, adding that he has no doubt that Saudi intelligence agency has close links with the Abdullah al-Zami Brigades. The Hezbollah leader also noted that the bombings were Saudi Arabia's expression of anger against Tehran because of Riyadh's defeat in Syria. Intelligence sources said that al-Majid was a high-ranking official of Saudi Arabia's intelligence service. On December 2nd, another bombing took place in Beirut's southern suburbs, a Hezbollah stronghold. This was the third explosion in this area, which claimed the lives of innocent civilians. Condemnations and accusations were spread fast, as analysts say that the attack has Al-Qaeda allied groups' fingerprints all over. Till now, the investigations were able to reveal the name of the suicide bomber, but the question remains, who's behind all of these attacks carried out in Lebanon? Is it Al-Qaeda, Saudi Arabia, or Israel? and who would benefit from inflaming the situation in the country. General Farhat, we've been witnessing a lot of explosions and bomb attacks in Lebanon, and it seems that Majid al-Majid is behind some of these attacks. Who is Majid al-Majid? If you can explain to us, who is this? We never heard of Majid al-Majid, and now we heard about him when he was caught after being in Lebanon for almost 2 years and operating from Lebanon.
Majid al-Majid is the prince or the leader of battalions of Abdullah Azzam. It was named after Abdullah Azzam, who was one of the founders of Al-Qaeda organization in Afghanistan and who was killed with his son in an explosion in Afghanistan. Majid al-Majid is a Saudi citizen. The organization is a multinational, most of them are Saudis and Syrians and Lebanese Palestinians as well. So the theater of operations of Abdullah Azzam battalions, Lebanon, Syria, Jordan and Egypt.
We've seen articles speaking about Afghanistan, Pakistan and Yemen. He's not limited.
So far, so far the operations that was declared and,
by this battalion
was in Egypt, in Aqaba, in Amman, and in Syria and in Lebanon. In Lebanon, we heard about Abdullah Azzam battalions first of all when they fired some rockets on to Israel from parts of the South Lebanon, and they issued press releases of that through anonymous sites or on their Twitter or other things like this. So Abdullah Azzam battalions, the one of its leaders, Mr. Sirajuddin Zarekat, is the sheikh, wrote on his account on Twitter that he was responsible on what he said, the invasion of the Iranian embassy in Beirut, and he said he announced the two, what they, he considered them martyrs, the two suicide bombers who were attacking the Iranian embassy. So this Mr. Sirajuddin Zarekat, who is a clergyman, was arrested 1 year ago in Lebanon by the Lebanese intelligence. And the Lebanese leadership undergone a lot of pressure from local leaders and from outside leaders in order to release Mr. Zarekat. When they released him as a, because he is a clergyman and he should not be arrested.
Pressure from whom? Who would want to who would want him to be released?
As far as I heard, I read in the media, the Mufti, the Grand Mufti of Lebanon, one of the people, but the others, they didn't.
Just because he's a cleric, he's a Lebanese
it's
cleric.
It's the pretext that he is a clergyman, but when he was released, of course, under the investigation, a lot of information was given from him to the investigators, and they understood that he is a member in an organization. So this tend to be that the last 2 years, the theater of operations of Kataib Abdullah Azzam was Lebanon, mainly Lebanon. And a rumor said that Mr. Majid was living in Arsal and moving in the Bekaa with a false ID card as a Syrian.
But we knew, and rumors said as well, that he was moving freely in Lebanon.
Yes, he can move freely because the identity is not
with a fake identity.
Uncovered with a fake ID, and he went to Ain al-Hilwi and went to Beirut. But now what was released that he was suffering from a failure in the kidneys and he went to the hospital, Farhat Hospital in Abika, and they then
his identity then was revealed.
Without knowing that he is Majid al-Majid. So we sent him to an hospital in Beirut. When some intelligence agencies in Lebanon discovered his true identity, and then he was arrested in an ambush in Niarzi. Now, so far, it's not known yet if he has undergone an investigation and some information was extracted from him or not.
We are going to speak about this, and we are going to speak about his strange death, about the whole capturing of Majid al-Majid. But before, we are going to a short break, dear viewers, and we will be back. So, General Farhat, we were speaking about Majid al-Majid and how he was caught in the hospital. They said that he's dead now, and he died in the hospital due to a kidney failure. Is that true? Because rumors are saying that he was delivered to the Saudi intelligence for investigation or for taking him as he is an officer in the Saudi intelligence.
It is difficult to determine exactly that he was killed or not, or he died.
Not really killed. They said that he died.
Died normally in a normal way because of his kidney failure or of something else. But you know, the what they call it, the legal doctor who examined the body of Majid al-Majid said in his report that it is a normal death. You know, but.
But yet commentators again, that there are bribes.
Yes,
and
some commentators said that in a case like Mr. Majid al-Majid, they should have formed a committee of doctors in order.
And this is what has been said, that a committee would be formed to investigate not only the death of Majid al-Majid, but his connection with the Iranian embassy explosion.
Death, physicians, group of physicians that are specialized in this kind of
So it's a kind of suspicious that committee was formed.
Yes, in order to determine exactly the reason of his death. Is it from the kidney failure or something else?
Because it could be poison. He could be poisoned. He could be killed.
This can seem only when there will be a committee with four or five doctors that convene and
agree
conduct,
on one opinion.
Conduct some analysis, blood analysis, and dissect the body, and you know, make some cultures of. Cultures in order to find out whether he was poisoned or it's a normal death. This was not done so far. So until the Lebanese judiciary formed this committee, there is a space for suspicion.
And we've heard a lot of rumors saying that he might not be killed or dead. He might be already in Saudi Arabia by now, because no one is revealing any kind of information about his presence or where is he right now or what's happening. Speaking about Majid al-Majid, do you think that Majid al-Majid, we heard that he is an intelligence officer in the Saudi intelligence. How accurate are those information, and do you think that he was sent by Saudi Arabia? It's not a personal decision to be with Al-Qaeda.
In this kind of covert actions, it's not easy to determine exactly that he was affiliated to the Saudi intelligence, and then he moved to a certain task here in this organization or something like this. This is difficult to know in the world of covert actions and the covert. But you know, we look to the evidences. He was working here against the Syrian regime, against Hezbollah, against
something
Iran.
That Saudi Arabia is already
something
doing.
Is yes, this is, we can take this conclusion from this, but no one will be able to get an evidence that he was affiliated to the Saudi intelligence and who was his boss and who was giving his order. But so far that he has money, someone is giving him money, someone is giving him intelligence, someone is giving him equipment. So
now we have to come to the conclusion that Al-Qaeda does not differ from the Saudi intelligence or the Saudi government. And Al-Qaeda and the Saudi government have same goals in Syria, and they are operating the same way.
That's long time ago, it's not from now. go back to Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
Prince Turkel Faisal, who was the Saudi chief intelligence, mm-hmm. at that time, he was the man who formed the Al-Qaeda
mm-hmm.
organization and funded them with money against the Soviet Union, mm-hmm. former Soviet Union forces in Afghanistan.
And this is what it all, yeah. how it all started.
Yes.
I have an article here, and the article says, as per a security officer who was closely involved in the case of Majid al-Majid, saying that Majid is a strong figure among his supporters and followers, and many are ready to die for him. Why would Majid al-Majid be that strong, and how would people decide to die for someone?
I don't think that this is accurate, mm-hmm. because the people are mobilized to die against something else than their own prince.
Mm, or leader.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We've seen this in Al-Qaeda. It's not strange for Al-Qaeda. Like, people pledge for an emir so that whatever he says, they obey, they do.
Yes, they obey the orders of the prince,
mm-hmm.
but now they don't want to revenge their prince mm-hmm. sporadically.
Mm-hmm.
And to, this is as if the what you said is a pretext for mm-hmm. More attacks in Beirut mm-hmm. or the southern suburb of Beirut.
This is what I
don't think that choosing the targets is.
Mm-hmm.
Is up to ordinary mm-hmm. member in the Al-Qaeda or Abdullah Azam.
Mm-hmm.
So the order comes from higher and higher
The
positions.
Last question about Majid al-Majid, do you think that the battalion of Abdullah Azam or Majid al-Majid were behind the explosion that targeted Beirut southern suburbs lately, the last explosion, because it happened after the arrest?
But the ISIS issued a press
mm-hmm.
release and said,
but yet again, Majid al-Majid is allied to ISIS.
Yeah, they are allied with each other, but actually,
but do you think who
actually
did
the
actually
ISIS, which
mm-hmm.
is now deployed in Syria,
mm-hmm.
and it may be enlisted
and
the
they are present in Lebanon, and we said in the report that ISIS have a strong presence in Lebanon.
Sure.
And
sure.
We've seen the ISIS in Zarsal, in Tripoli, in a lot of areas.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
At least their logo is found
mm-hmm.
on some places and some
mm-hmm.
Buildings
mm-hmm.
in Tripoli and in Arsal as well. So the man, the suicide bomber who blew himself up in Al-Dahi,
Qutaiba Qassam,
yes, he was enlisted by the Qaeda and
mm-hmm.
by ISIS, either in Akkar or Arsal or in Syria,
mm-hmm.
but according to his father, he left his house going to Irsal.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he came from Irsal to Lebanon.
And we heard a lot of opponents of Hezbollah saying that he was kidnapped by Hezbollah. And we heard a Lebanese parliamentarian, Khaled Daher, saying that he was kidnapped by Hezbollah and taken to Bekaa and then taken to the Beirut southern suburbs. And they did the explosion, so in an attempt to accuse Hezbollah of committing such a terrorist act.
Mr. Daher said he contradicts himself. He said
mm-hmm.
that, as you said now, that he was kidnapped and killed in Dahi,
mm-hmm.
and he said that this is a response against Hezbollah
mm-hmm.
interference in Syria,
mm-hmm.
in Syria, and the Syrian opposition
are responding to
either he wants mm-hmm. that the ISIS send them or
it's one of two scenarios. You
yes.
cannot say two scenarios.
He said both together.
Mm-hmm.
That means there is no nothing solid in his
mm-hmm.
accusations.
Okay, we've seen lately that the President Sulaiman has announced a $3 billion grant from Saudi Arabia to Lebanon. Does this have any connection with Saudi Arabia wanting to control not only to inflame the situation in Lebanon, but also to control the army in Lebanon?
I don't think that the President Sulaiman should have announced this Saudi aid from
mm-hmm.
the presidential palace. They should have announced it during a meeting
mm-hmm.
with King Abdullah, and not alone here. Secondly,
what's the difference?
It's different. It's much different when he meets the King Abdullah
mm-hmm.
and they agree about supporting the Lebanese army and
they would have
it.
A press conference, a
press
joint
conference,
press conference,
either a joint press conference
mm-hmm.
or a joint communique.
Mm-hmm.
But now, when he announced it here
from the presidential
from
palace,
you know, it's not from the diplomatic perspective,
mm-hmm.
it's not usual.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the Lebanese army needs equipment.
Everyone
and
knows that.
Now it is ill-equipped, and all its equipments are aging. We need.
You were a general in the Lebanese army,
yes,
and you know how much the Lebanese army now is under pressure due to everything that is happening. And we know that the Lebanese army is not ready to fight those things, that those clashes in Saidoun that occurred with the Al-Asir oil supporters and the Nahr el-Bared clashes that occurred in Tripoli. The Lebanese army is not ready for such fights.
No.
And those $3 billion are going to help a lot.
No, the readiness of the Lebanese army against this kind of fight is different from the equipping from equipping the Lebanese army.
No, I mean not. I mean in person, the training. I mean the equipment of the Lebanese army.
The equipment of the needs of the Lebanese army are first of all air defense, air forces. If we need an air force, an air defense, we need artillery and tanks. We need the infrastructures, medical services, training institutes, something. Those needs, they need $3 billion or more. But it's not the $3 billion. If you bought all these or procured all these equipments, it does not mean that you can target Hezbollah by all those means. That's something different. For example,
so the look
at the United States Army. United States Army in Fallujah, the most developed and sophisticated army in the world, lost about 180 people in a battle between.
And in the whole battle in Iraq, they lost 4,000.
So that's something different.
People.
You know, equipping the army. That means the army will be stronger. And that will be more useful for the resistance.
So
because had the army had air defense that will attack or shoot at the Israeli planes when they overfly the Lebanese airspace. So that's good for the resistance when we have warning systems and radars.
So it's so not like good. Political analysts are saying that Saudi Arabia is trying to help the Lebanese army so that it could stand against Hezbollah. So it's not this.
I don't think that this can do this.
And
equipping such equipments are not are not suitable for fighting Hezbollah. But what is something is suitable is that the money for France. This is
it's
the
not the only. It's it's not only the.
I think the main
grant for Lebanon. It's also a grant for France.
It's a grant for France through the Lebanese army.
Do you think that what analysts are saying that Saudi Arabia is trying to do this whole grant for Lebanon and it is a grant for France as well, so that France stands with Saudi Arabia in the Syrian crisis?
Sure,
because the whole thing going in Syria.
Before, when France vetoed the agreement between 5+1 and
it was the only country hosted by Saudi Arabia concerning this.
For 1 week, they delay it 1 week, and this week they got a contract with the Saudi government to renew the Saudi Navy with about $12 billion. It's a matter of money, nothing more.
The last question, and briefly, because we do not have any more time. Does Saudi Arabia want to control the government in Lebanon and create a government of March 14 only by this grant?
Sure, because Mr. Walid Jumblat declared on the TV that Mr. Islam was agreed upon him as a designate prime minister during his meeting with Prince Bandar bin Sultan. And Prince Bandar bin Sultan suggested Mr. Rifi. So Jumblat objected and they agreed on Tamam Islam. So Tamam Islam, according to Walid Jumblat, is the man of Saudi Arabia. So that means that they intervene in assigning the prime minister.
The prime minister. So they're going to intervene in the whole government.
The whole government.
Okay, thank you so much, General Elias Farhat, for giving us this information and being in the show with us. Dear viewers, our time is up. Thank you for watching. I'll see you next week.